Okay, good morning, Tom. I'm Dustin Otakovin, State Veterinarian and Executive Secretary for the South Dakota Animal Industry Board.
A beef cattle herd in Harding County was discovered to have bovine TB. What are the circumstances? What happened? How was this discovered?
Well, the detection occurred at a federally inspected slaughter plant, actually two different plants in Nebraska. Coal cows that had been sold from this herd last fall had been in feeding channels since that time, and they were slaughtered at two different plants about a week apart. Inspectors at those plants that are routinely looking for signs of illness in those carcasses that did notice some disease in the lungs and the lymph nodes, and they per their routine business, they forwarded those samples to a laboratory where TB was found. And then through the records that are kept through the auction markets and surrounding the official animal ID numbers, we were able to get back to a herd of interest. The state veterinarians tested cattle in that herd, and we were able to confirm other infected animals in that herd.
What is done once TB is confirmed in this herd?
Well, we have two primary objectives. One is to protect the livestock industry from this disease. We want to make sure we do a thorough job of investigating this occurrence to determine the extent of the disease. You know, is it contained in this herd or is it in other herds, either surrounding that herd or herds that have purchased or sold animals into that herd? So an investigation and ultimately control of that disease is our primary responsibility, but we also work closely with the affected herd to evaluate options. Of course, we'd like to, as much as possible, keep that herd intact or at least keep the herd owner in business. And sometimes those two goals are tough to reconcile, but we'll be working with the area ranchers and trying to take the best measures possible to make sure we can eradicate TB from the area.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about, the interest in keeping a producer in business, because what's the procedure? Is there depopulation? What happens here?
Well, that's certainly one option, Tom, and I think, if we look back a couple decades, that would have been the first option and probably, a very rapid action. Now we evaluate that as a possibility, but we will, by the end of the week, have removed all animals that were reactors to the initial test that was conducted, and we may be looking at other options to conduct further tests and remove infected animals. And at this point, we just don't have enough information to know, what will be the best outcome for that herd. But we are working with USDA and the herd owner to evaluate those options.
What does this do to South Dakota's TB-free status?
Yeah, we do enjoy a TB-free status by USDA, and we've held that since 1982. We have had other affected herds in 2009 and 2011. We had separate and unrelated outbreaks of TB in southeastern South Dakota, and I think, we were able to maintain our free status through those occurrences by timely investigating and thoroughly investigating those cases and working through those issues with the affected herd owners and farmers and ranchers in the area. And so I think this case is progressing similarly. We are working as quickly as we can with neighboring ranchers to evaluate the extent of the disease and consider our options. And I think so long as we continue to thoroughly and timely investigate this occurrence, there should be no effect to our TB-free status. Ultimately, that's USDA's decision, but I think we've proven that we can handle the investigation in a timely manner, and we plan to do that in this case as well.
What is it that would affect the TB-free status in the state if it's not the discovery of another TB herd?
Sure. Well, and that primarily that would be it, is finding other affected herds, especially if we were finding that, you know, this particular strain of TB was spreading easily or rapidly between herds, or you know, was found in other herds. That could be cause for a downgrade in status. You know, a lot of these things have, it used to be a little more black and white. You know, you could have a couple of herds within a 4 or 5 year period. Some of that has changed as our TB eradication program has advanced, and you know, there's at least a recognition by USDA that additional information can be gathered, and so long as an investigation and proper procedures are taken, there's probably no reason to take away a state's status. And the other thing is that there is ongoing proposed changes to the TB regulations, as you may be aware, but there is some consideration for you know, dispensing with that TB-free status designation in favor of some other approaches. Now, that's, I guess, to my knowledge, on hold, and so there's nothing immediate that will, you know, be related to those proposed changes. But the background behind those changes is that, you know, there isn't an automatic downgrade anymore. At least we haven't seen that since about 2010.
What knowledge is there of export trading partner response and what's being done about that?
Well, I would say in our immediate export trading partners being our surrounding states, you know, I've communicated with our surrounding state veterinarians. You know, they have their industries within their states to protect as well, and I imagine they'll take whatever action they deem appropriate in consultation with their industry groups. But one thing I, you know, have tried to emphasize with them is that we do have the affected herd quarantined, as well as the neighboring herds quarantined, and we continue to work on the relevant information to the finding of TB in South Dakota, and we will continue to communicate that to them. Really, we don't see a need to have you know, widespread statewide or even Harding County wide testing on these cattle that are leaving our state, because we feel like we have the investigation under control. But ultimately, they could impose additional testing requirements on our cattle if they felt that was necessary to protect their industries.
Does that also go with international trading partners?
You know, I don't know that this will have much effect, if any, on our international trade. I guess I'm not sure on that point, Dom.
What should cattlemen do to increase surveillance of herds, especially in light of another herd being discovered?
Well, in general, I don't know that I can recommend that, you know, that cattlemen in the state take any additional precaution at this point. I don't know that we have, I mean, we don't have evidence that this is a widespread issue. You know, as I mentioned before, we're doing some testing this week in adjacent and neighboring herds, and we'll hope to have additional information, you know, continually as we go forward from here. But I think, you know, in this case, the slaughter surveillance that I mentioned before caught at least an, you know, early indication that this herd was affected, and so the system that we have in place works, and there really isn't much more that a cattleman can do to, you know, to do additional surveillance. It is important. This does remind us the importance of getting certificates of veterinary inspection, or health certificates, as they're sometimes known, with official identification when livestock are moving interstate, because in this case we were able to very quickly identify a herd of interest. You know, previous cases we've been involved with in 2009, it took us several months to find the herd that we needed to test. So it is important to get those health certificates and use official ID whenever possible.
Tell me about official ID. Is there any requirement for it? Is that voluntary?
You know, the requirement comes when livestock, and that's, you know, cattle, swine, horses, goats, sheep, some poultry are moving in interstate movement. So when you cross the state line, you've got to have a health certificate, and the official identification then varies by species. For cattle, it's typically one of two forms, the USDA metal tags, which can come in the form of a Bangs tag or a silver metal clip. Those are individual identification that are issued through veterinarians typically. And then the other form is a what's called an animal identification number that begins with the country code for the U.S. That's 840. And typically those are 15-digit numbers that can be put on a radio frequency device, or they can be printed as well, but the convenience of them is really when they're on a radio frequency device and can be read electronically. So typically that's the two types of official identification that are used when eligible animals are moved in interstate shipments.
And that is a requirement that that's done if they're moved interstate?
Yeah, it's a requirement at the federal level. And then in addition, most states have additional requirements for animal health purposes for animals that are moving into their state. You know, the only thing I might like to add just is the recognition that the finding of TB in this area poses no additional risk to food safety. Again, I think the system we have in place and was demonstrated in this case to have worked very well, and the food supply is safe.
That's one thing I wanted clarified. I'm glad you brought that up. It said in a release I was seeing that you had pointed out that milk pasteurization and meat inspection have made it possible that food remains safe. Not counting that, is it possible that this exists in meat or milk and can be passed along to humans that way?
You know, it's very unlikely that that's happening in the United States. It certainly did happen earlier in our nation's history, which is why the, you know, a couple of it's supported the need for pasteurization and a TB eradication program with meat inspection. All of that happened around 100 years ago. In fact, 1917 is when the TB eradication program began. So, and at that time, we did have bovine TB that was that was passed along to humans through through milk or you know, through the exposure to that disease in livestock that had the disease. But you know, the program has been very successful, and at this point, you know, I guess as evidenced by the need to talk about what TB is and how we deal with it, folks, you know, it's kind of unheard of anymore. So we don't see it very much, very often, I should say. It does pop up occasionally, and you know, those sources of where it comes from are fairly well identified. We know we have some interaction through both animals and people from countries such as Mexico, where bovine TB does exist at a higher prevalence than here in the United States, where it's really you know, less than a fraction of a percentage is the prevalence of it here in the United States. So it's very unlikely that it would be circulating. And you know, I did add that note in our press release just to reassure folks that you know, we do have these overlapping protections on our food safety system that provide that extra layer.